Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
So, Philip, could you explain the intended use of this Queensland's facial recognition system?
Well, yeah, I wasn't privy to the actual rollout or trialling of the system, but I understand, you know, law enforcement and the games organisers were keen to have the games as safe as possible, and no one's going to argue about that. There is a system being built by the federal government and in which all states and territories can participate for driver's license verification and use of facial recognition for identity purposes. That system was deployed. Queensland actually was the first state to legislate to participate in that system. Ahead of the Commonwealth Games, there was pressure definitely to do all things and to get a system in place. The system legislation at the federal level has just lapsed now, so it hasn't even passed the federal parliament yet to fully operate the system on a Commonwealth and state and territory basis.
Well, I know, say, for example, when I'm in the bath and I've got a face mask on, even my iPhone, the new iPhone, it can't even detect my face. How accurate is something like this technology, which is obviously much further away than a phone would be?
Yeah, that's the question, and that's the thing that I think the civil libertarians and privacy commissioners have been concerned about, is that it's not an infallible system. Even if they have a fantastic set of images and all perfect conditions, we've seen that even at the border, sometimes passports, the systems used by the federal border security people are not infallible. And so false positives, and particularly when you're trying to match one to many from a database, there's a risk, particularly for minority groups and for youth, particularly, that the system's not as accurate for those, possibly overrepresented people in certain databases.
Well, are we expecting to see this facial recognition system used anywhere else in Australia?
Interestingly enough, I saw in the media probably a couple of years ago that the private sector in the stadium, I think Sydney Cricket Stadium, it was trialled, some time ago in New South Wales. I know our stadiums particularly have been looking at it, and it's been reported that they may be using it to screen people, troublemakers or potential troublemakers at stadiums. So it's potentially in use by private sector more broadly as well in some of the bigger shopping centres and malls. And our big thing is to make sure that it's done responsibly and transparently, so people can actually know when it's happening in the background, and that they aren't singled out for no good reason.
Well, if you've just joined us this morning, we're talking to Philip Green, Privacy Commissioner from Queensland's Office for the Information Commissioner, about the facial recognition system used in the 2018 Commonwealth Games. So, Philip, why exactly did it take so long to reveal the details of this report?
I'm not sure. I think the reporter from ABC tried to get it voluntarily from the police. And it's good that they have actually done a review of the system's use, because I think, the public expect to know, how this technology works, and then they can actually add to the public debate about when it should be used, perhaps, and whether some of the concerns are warranted, and whether the safety benefits are justified for the intrusion into their lives. If we're quite comfortable, I think, with CCTV footage, but this really puts it on steroids, and rather than just someone monitoring it or for them to get footage, post an event, they can look in real time for people in a crowd, or and the artificial intelligence algorithms that are being used can actually go beyond just facial recognition to things like gait recognition and even voice recognition if audio is enabled. And looking for behavioral characteristics. So where it starts getting trickier is where, police might try and use this technology for predictive policing and intervening while things are happening, or, even in advance of them happening. So there are some concerns more generally about the impact on individuals in those circumstances.
And is this something we should be worried about?
I think people should be aware of it and be concerned. I do believe that at times, in there was obviously pressure ahead of the Commonwealth Games to implement, from Queensland's perspective. The other states and territories seem to be taking their time, and I think hopefully they'll more fully debate the legislation and the powers for law enforcement. And certainly the federal government's yet to have that solid debate in the House of Representatives and the Senate over whether the federal system should be fully implemented. We've seen some fairly strong policing and investigative powers, particularly in the counter-terrorism arena, and for breaking encryption, say, for example, and for getting passwords, where the impact on individuals is quite strong, and whether they're warranted given the levels of the threat and risk is something the public should be concerned about and ask the questions of their representatives in Parliament, I think.
Mm, yeah, well, I definitely think the development of this technology is something we definitely need to be keeping an eye on, because who knows how extensive it could go. Well, Philip, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Nathaniel. And a small plug, Privacy Awareness Week is starting next Monday, so it's a good time to think about privacy and to take advantage of some of the good resources. I think New South Wales Commissioner Samantha Gable has some fantastic resources and events planned during Privacy Awareness Week. So get on board, and thank you for having me this morning.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. We'll definitely be talking about privacy awareness next week. Definitely go through my privacy settings on all my apps.
Good plan.
See if anything's changed recently. Philip, thank you so much.